I definitely want to recognize everyone who's here and made the time to come in. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Nice to see you. If you have representatives who are multiple speakers for the same item, I ask that you kind of condense your words, okay? I want to hear from folks, but I also want to make sure that we hear from everyone, okay? So let's proceed as neighbors. 3 minutes max left for each speaker, okay? So please don't go over that. So first up, we have Susan Grant.
I'm from a neighborhood called Public Academy. There's nine of my neighbors here in the valley because we're all very interested in getting our road resurfaced. Our neighborhood is 50 some years old. We have the original roads. We have several neighbors submitted information. We have had multiple falls and injuries in our neighborhood. And it's become something that we have requested over the years, and we've come here to ask that for consideration. And there'll be someone else that can speak further. But there's 44 homes in our neighborhood, and nine of us are here. So I think that should consider it, so.
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate you being here. Thank you. All right, so we have Carmen Nelson up next from the Deep Saver. Please come on.
Good evening. My name is Carmen Nelson, and I live in the Deep neighborhood, and I have lived there for 45 years. Let me begin by thanking Mr. Jim LeGroux and Martha Cantrell and Amanda Valenzuela for helping us to better understand what is happening with our streets. In regards to the email that I received on January 11th from Mr. LeGroux, he mentioned the $14 million Rolling Hills paving program. Unfortunately, within the email, you also mentioned that during the review, the water line south of 29th Street between Coleman and Prudence were particularly prone to failure because of several leaks encountered during the deeds work that was done last year. And I emphasize last year. In the email, you also mentioned that Tucson Water is or will be in the process of designing how to move the water lines from the alleys. I have shared your email with our neighborhood association and also with several of my neighbors who were not able to attend that neighborhood meeting. And so it led me to a couple of questions. Our streets have been severely neglected. I'm sure just like other neighbors have. And the last time we had any work to our streets was in 2008. And that was only a chip and seal. They discovered the issue with the water lines last year, yet it is tentatively scheduled for designing in the late summer of 2026. In the Deep area, the water lines prone to failure. The only one is, are we the only neighborhood in the whole Tucson metropolitan area that has that issue? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I would think that Tucson Water might have a blueprint of some kind of repairs or some kind of guidelines that they can help them, you know, determine when they can get started on that. And also my question is that if Tucson Water's budget runs short, does that mean that our water lines are not going to be repaired because of budget restrictions? And our neighborhood is like 60 years old, and it's not as old as you guys, but we are not being attended to, and knowing that our streets are in such despair, we like to have some type of communication with someone, and I realize that you can't answer those questions right now, but we would appreciate if you could guide us as to who we can contact or have an update or where our neighborhood stands in regards to these desperately needed repairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. All right, next up we have Isabel Doe from Menlo Park.
Hello. Okay. I received this little flyer from the Neighborhood Association, and it mentioned that we, if we wanted our streets paved, that we needed to attend this meeting. Well, I live on Cedar and Grande, and Grande and Congress, the streets that are the main streets going either with south north, okay, or east and west. Well, what's happening is we don't have a left turn signal on Congress and Grande. And what's happening is the traffic backs up, so then they start coming through the neighborhood and cutting through the neighborhood, and it's putting a lot of stress on our streets. We don't have, what do you call those, for the sidewalks for handicapped people? We don't have any. We have a veteran who's a handicapped. You can't use the sidewalk in order to access the streets or walk anywhere. Okay, so that's the biggest problem. We have a lot of traffic, FedEx, Amazon, all those trucks cut through the neighborhood, and then it's the bad part is it's Cedar Grande to Palomas. And then Palomas, they cut through Palomas. And there's signage all over for people to go down Congress, but they cut through. Then we have the weekend where all those people are going up the A Mountain using Cedar. And a lot of off-road vehicles that are not licensed are up and down the street. And so our streets are crumbling. They're crumbling, and we need your help getting them fixed. Did you want to see this?
Yeah, call me.
Hold it.
I'll reiterate.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
That's it right now.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
Right now.
Thank you. Next up, I have Amalia Reyes.
I'm Amalia Reyes, and I'm here for similar reasons, but my concern is that, you know, we have two oversights, and the requirements for the repair in the neighborhood, the residential area, is to meet the lowest overall condition index. I don't know what that is. The ward proportionality funding investments equivalent to the number of streets in the ward. We're in Ward 1. The other one is equity neighborhoods identified as areas of higher traffic for transportation needs, which are based on more Tucson, which I still need to research. But they contain transit, biking, walking, and daily trips in the neighborhood. I was kind of a little upset because I saw that they were repaving the streets over in Menlo Park, which is a historical community. And then when I got sent information from Valenzuela, it said for some reason that the southern portion of Menlo Park was annexed and wasn't included, and it's not going to be included. And that concerns me because we have a high traffic area, and I've been calling our Ward 1 office for years, and I recently talked to Ms. Valenzuela to figure out what's going on. Why weren't we included in the overall Menlo Park? We are part of Menlo Park. Unless it was annexed and nobody let us know. But Jesus, we can't even walk down the sidewalk. It's buckled, it's cracked, there's no ADA access. You know, older people are supposed to go take their daily walk. We can't, because we might fall down and then we'll have other issues. I take care of my grandchildren. You know, you put your children in the careta in the stroller. You can't use the sidewalks, and then you want to use the streets, and they're all buckled. There's erosion on the side of the streets where you can see the dirt coming up, 6 inches, maybe 12 inches along the curb. And I don't think that's really fair because of all the development, you know, with Rio Nuevo, we get more and more traffic, and that's why they're bypassing the intersection. Because, you know, they kickstart Congress very nice with the assumption that people were going to use that to go up, you know, to A Mountain, but that's not true. They're still going up Cedar. On a Sunday, I can sit outside in my house and count 20 cars in less than half an hour going up to A Mountain. They're not using Congress, and they use a lot of dollars to repair that area. They're using dollars, too, I think, from the same project to put sidewalks up on Grande and the walkway project, But people are coming from the new area that's being developed across from the Metalo. So they start walking up Eight Mountain early in the morning. Our dogs are barking, we're trying to sleep. But they're walking up Eight Mountain. And then the other thing is that because there's the bajada on Eight Mountain, when it rains, all that water just comes down into our little neighborhood. And it brings down sand right there on Cuesta and Cedar. And you try to, you know, take the stroller for a walk and there's nothing but sand there. We, you know, and you have to make like a detour. So, you know, priority is for me, why were we annexed out of that street repair project for Menlo Park? Why? And why and who made the annex decision to remove us from that repair? I mean, it's sad because a lot of people have been living there for, I've been living there for almost 40 years. Other people live there their lifetime. Our homes were built in 1940. It's a historic neighborhood. And so I'm just wondering who the powers, you know, that are there did not advocate for that area. And why was the justification for the annex? That's just my concern.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for sharing. We have Mary Dorgan from Highland Vista.
I'm from Highland Vista neighborhood, and the same as everybody here, I'm from Highland Vista. And we're a 70-year-old neighborhood also. So just like everybody else, just requesting a street paving. And we're not on any list for 2025 or 2026. So I don't know if you could put in a request to be on the list to And I didn't understand how you got the ORC scores or how often you if somebody could answer that question, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a good
All right, Larry Anderson.
Good evening, everybody. I think we're all here for the same reason, right? Public safety, access for our elders, and good streets. Going back to what Mrs. Gill was saying, is I live on Pope Clovis. I'm a retired fire chief, 25 years. I sit on my porch and I look at traffic. What I would like to say is, within this committee, who here represents Ward 1?
Oh, I just
witnessed
my person.
A person, right? And I haven't met you yet. But that's what I'm learning is, you know, when we make this speech, I notice a lot of you are busy and maybe not attentive to your ward. And I pay attention to those things. And that's why I want to be here and express myself, but I want to make sure that it's going into the channel and being filtered so it's received. So we have a lot of elders in our area, and we have a lot of renters in our area. But the indirect impact is our roads. I would challenge the group to put a vehicle count on my road. If you want stats, hard stats, put a count on that road. I guarantee you, there's a high likelihood that that road would qualify. When was the last time it was resurfaced? I'm the second owner of the Bravo's house. It's one of the storage houses in that neighborhood. One day it'll be mine. But at the same time is, I've been there for almost 23 years now, and I don't remember being repaved. I've seen some chip sealing happen, but looking across the that immediately across the avenue and seeing all that great work going in, and my kids seeing all that great work going in, and the elders who's been investing for all that time seeing that great work going in, when do they get to enjoy it? So, I don't mean to come philosophical or anything like that. I know that the pressure on the city is immense, right? Budgetary things. I'm going to become more engaged in these type of discussions because at the end of the day, we're all in it to win. But as we all know, it requires votes. It may not be an election year, but at the same time, understanding the demographics, understanding the complexity behind it, understanding who's going to represent our group as well as your group, I think that really needs to be filtered in a way so that way we know that our voice is really being heard. So that's on my card. It's listed the same thing, right? ADA compliance, having access to those things. We don't have any bike lanes. Just the bikers go around. I can sit on my porch every day and watch. I can watch them every day. And what they did to divert the program, to decrease the flow, they did roundabouts. Nobody made roundabouts. We had vegetation growing, right? So the initiative was good at the beginning, but there was no solid follow-through on a lot of these things. So I may have overstepped my time, but like I said, my name is Larry Anderson. I do live in the community. I am one of the contributor houses in that community. But beyond my voice is, we have a lot of the elders that are there that, including myself, I bought a three-wheel bike the other day. I can't even ride in the front seat because I ran the back lane, nor is the safe, the road safe enough to be on it. And I think the other thing too is what's hard to visualize is, I know a young lady was in the neighborhood the other day and she was actually taking pictures of the conditions of the road. I think that would be useful for the committee. You may or may not have them, but let's do some comparison. I'd like to do a road count. I'd like to see how many potholes are in our area. And I think those would be huge qualifiers, particularly compared to the roads that were being placed there. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer those. But if not, let's enjoy the rest of the movie.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Next up, we have Raul Ramirez.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm here representing Barrio Sinobre. For those of you that don't know where that's at, think of a mountain. At the base of a mountain, there's a small community. It has around 65 residents. And it's one of the newest neighborhood associations we organized last year. But it's also one of the oldest, and it's considered the birthplace of Tucson. In our neighborhood boundaries, one of the amenities there is Mission Garden. And I was also a founding member of Mission Garden. I served with Menlo Park for 5 years as a board member, and now currently as a board member of Barrio Sinobre. Through advocacy of our community, when Lane Santa Cruz, I'm sorry, when Regina Romero was at Ward 1, there was action to pay three of our streets. And then at the same time, they're in that area, if you know the area, and I think somebody mentioned Rio Nuevo, well, Rio Nuevo is also in that area. There was an agreement with Rio Nuevo to pay the last street being, and that's why we're here, Mission Lane. Well, Rio Nuevo now tells us that it's not in their boundaries, but they might have a moral responsibility. So they had made a deal with the city, and the city had waived tipping fees and clean fill when they were building Caterpillar in our neighborhood. But now Rio Nuevo says, no, we don't have a responsibility, fiscal responsibility. So we've gone to the board, had conversations with Lane Santa Cruz, and we've also talked to people in transportation. Well, recently I talked to Amanda. She was very helpful, thank you. And so we're here to try to advocate for a small community, basically 65 residents. And the street that we're talking about is really an interesting street because it's a historic street. If you know Tucson, if you look at old city maps, but Tucson was just barely 600 residents. Barrio Sinobre, the main Mission Lane, was part of the Mission Road. It would come from the Presidio down the river, which is now Simpson, to Mission Lane, then into Mission. So it's an old community. So I mentioned one of the amenities we have is Mission Garden. That gets a lot of traffic in and out, especially when they have some events over the weekend. More recently, the city of Tucson has returned the land to the Ajo, and that's a good thing. There were 10.5 acres, and this was the old mission site called San Agustin. At some point, the the community, on all of them, are going to start building. And then the third is just the residents that live in that area. I mentioned us last, but really we're the ones that have been there the longest. So we're asking that as you start working on, for example, you have South Mendo that probably needs some help. Because I know the other streets are done, and so it may not be economies of scale to do one little street, and you have 5 meters that have to be raised. But if you're working in the adjacent area, and we've been waiting, since our streets were paved, it was in 2022, right? And nothing's happened all this period of time. So I would ask you to try to help us prioritize that small street in the work you're doing. At the same time, there's other people that are going to talk about some of the flooding issues, so I will not address that. Thank you.
All right, next up we have Victor Rivera.
My name is Victor Rivera, and I live on Mission Lane, the street that Raul was talking about. I lived there for 67 years. I'm 73 years old. I think we need to touch a little bit about, Raul talked about our boundaries. We're bounded by Grande on the west, been Cushing on the north, and Santa Cruz River on the east, and President Street on the south. The history of Barrio Sin Nombre was, way back in that, they used to make bricks there, and there was a brickyard in, and they had all these pits. So the city started in 1955 dumping trash in the old pits that they had there. So on three sides of Barrio Sin Nombre, we were surrounded by dump here, trash, and finally they stopped, I think, in 1965. And we've lived through the remediation when we started building Caterpillar. One of the things we had to deal with was mice and other rodents in our houses. And so we're a poor neighborhood, but we came together because we were part of Menlo Park. We were having the issues addressed. So that's why we formed our own neighborhood. As I said, I live on Mission Lane. When it rains, the water, the sand and things comes down and covers our, for me, it covers my water meter. I have to go digging around the people that have to do something there. Not just the paving, but also the Barrio Sin Nombre got lights. And Mission Lane doesn't have lights, and it's really dark there. So hopefully, we can get that straightened out. I don't understand what that means, is a moral obligation or this and that. We just need to get Mission Lane paved and lighted. Thank you.
All right, next up we have Mr. Jorge
Melissa.
Hi, thank you. I'm here with Sue and the rest of my lovely geriatric crew. I won't reiterate what everybody else has said, but I will say thank you to each of the committee members for serving on the committee. I know it's a volunteer position. I know you're taking time out of your busy schedule and busy life to do this. I sit on a commission as well, and so I really do appreciate that. And I think for us, it would be helpful to understand what we need to do to be evaluated, to get on the list, what we need to do to have our
cards. I'd like to give them time if that's okay with everybody on the commission. Thank you. Next up, we have Anthony Nelson from Barrio Sin Nombre.
Hello, everybody. My name is Anthony Nelson. I'm the president of Barrio Sin Nombre. My family's been in that community for 100 years, and I've been a lifetime resident of the West Side. Anyways, I've lived in Menlo Park. I've lived in Barrio Sin Nombre. My family comes from Barrio Sin Nombre and into Menlo Park. So I will advocate that we do need a left turn signal at Congress and Grande. South Menlo should be repaved as well as Mission Lane. I don't know why South Menlo hasn't been repaved. I know North Menlo usually gets repaved over and over again, and Westmoreland, Palomas, all those streets get skipped over and over year by year, each time they repave. And the reasoning for that is because it's cheaper to maintain roads than it is to repave them, is what I got from the city of Tucson maybe about 4 years ago. So I'm not sure if that's the same reasoning today. But I do want to advocate for Barrio Sin Nombre's Mission Lane to be repaved. We've gone to the county, and the county says it's the city's problem. We've gone to Rio Nuevo. Rio Nuevo's basically going back in circles. Everybody's pointing fingers at each other, but it lands back in the city of Tucson's lap. So I guess I'll end with that. Thank you guys very much.
Derek Daniels. I'm with the Vista del Rio neighborhood, of which I'm a board member, and I've addressed this commission quite a few times, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. I just wanted to say thank you to the commission, specifically Jim and Dale, and everyone else's time as well. Jesse, thank you for your time in the past. Our neighborhood has been repaved. The sidewalks are ADA compliant. For everyone who's here to advocate for their neighborhoods, just know that this commission does take into account certainly the input, as well as there's a lot of really good information here. So I'm here just to say thank you on behalf of our neighborhood. I've done a really stellar job.
Thank you for being here, Jerry.
I'm Kylie Walczak. I'm the current president of Menlo Park. We're very well represented here tonight, as you can tell. And for the members of the committee, I would just like to direct your attention to your packets. There was an email included in your packet on Friday. I hope it made it into your packet. That addressed, I think, summarized a lot of what you've heard from West Side residents this evening, which is, first and foremost, thank you. We were really surprised that Northwest Menlo Park Street started being repaved in December. We didn't have any warning that that was happening. We knew that we were on the list using the interactive public-facing map that you all keep, but we had no idea that it was coming so soon. So we saw 88 curb ramps getting installed in early December, and that alerted us to the fact that something might be happening. When we asked questions, we learned from Amanda that it was an efficiency decision. There had been crews finishing up in the Rio Vista neighborhood, and since they were already on the west side, and if I have that wrong, forgive me, but they were already on the west side, and so they moved them down to Menlo Park and began work there. And in the northwest part of Menlo Park, that work is almost finished. I don't understand all of the complex matrices and decision making that goes into deciding where you draw lines about what neighborhood streets get repaved when. I understand you can't do them all at once. Just watching the repaving work from where I live, it has been astonishing to me how intense it is, how resource intensive it is. So in the letter, we asked you to apply that same logic that got Northwest Menlo Park started in December to the rest of Menlo Park. The machinery is already there. Contractors already there. We hope that once you finish up the work in Northwest Menlo, it's an easy move to find a lot where you can station all those machines and begin work on not just the south side of Congress, but we also have a bunch of streets on the east side of Grande that need to be repaved. And so everything is really close by, and we hope that that's an easy move. The third thing that I mentioned in the letter, this is another hot potato, kind of like what Barrio Sin Nombre is describing about not knowing whose jurisdiction is a specific street. Sentinel Peak Road, that goes up to Sentinel Peak Park. If you go up to A Mountain, you use this road. If you look at the public-facing map that we have to decide, you know, who's going to get paved where and when, we notice that Sentinel Peak Road only gets paved up to about Clausen Circle, which is just a tiny bit of Sentinel Peak Road. And I'm here also tonight on behalf of the HOA of Sentinel Shadows and also the Neighborhood Association of Panorama Estates that lives up there. They're all listed as to be paved eventually, but Sentinel Peak Park Road is not. I understand that there's different jurisdictions between Parks and Rec and City of Tucson, but really we just hope that somebody will just say, you know what, the machinery's here, let's just pave a little bit more of that road up to the lower parking lot of Sentinel Peak Park, because if you've been on that road lately, it's like the Grand Canyon up there. And then at the same time, if you're over on the west and the south side of Menlo Park, we hope you can just, you know, send somebody over to Mission Lane and take care of that too, and then we'll be on your hair.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, neighbors, for coming today. It really means a lot to have, you know, folks that live in these neighborhoods be here and advocating. We live in these neighborhoods as well as appointees and volunteer members. So, I hear you and I appreciate being here. All right. With that, let's move forward with Prop 101 updates. If y'all want to stay, you're welcome to. And if you don't wish to, do we have any more chairs? Thank you so much. All right, Jim.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the IOAC, I'll give you a brief update on where we are with Proposition 101. In terms of the Package 4 rehabilitation, we are working continuously in the downtown area, looking primarily at following the water work that needs to be done in advance. There is, in this particular case, Valencia Road to those, this is actually not in downtown, 6th Avenue from Valencia to Los Reales. That project is going to follow the work, the waterline relocation work that Tucson Water is undertaking right now. They currently have NOVA contractors out there underway. We expect that they will be complete and we'll be able to move into paving in May. One thing that I will tell you, that just as an aside, you'll hear about it later in the collector's report. There is a collector section that goes from Drexel to Valencia. That piece is currently under contract. We've just put it under contract with Borderline Construction, and Borderline Construction has a CMAR with us on the 6th Avenue Valencia to Los Reales piece. So we'll, once we finish up with that, we'll likely be able to roll right into the into the work further to the south. So that would wrap up that package of Prop 101. Package 5, Fifth Street, we have the CMAR, we have Hunter Construction as our construction manager at risk. That's what CMAR stands for. They've begun construction of the water modifications. They've actually been working in there in advance. They're going to get in full steam in March. We expect to begin the construction of the paving starting in September once the water mains have been relocated and replaced. In terms of our preservation work that we were doing last year, that's now all completed. That's the arterials that were receiving a preservative treatment. That's now done and closed out. Package 10, which is the downtown streets, we finished the work on stone. And Cushing, we still have to come back in and do the curb access ramps. But we have the remaining streets in the downtown area that we're going to be repaving under that are currently being developed for water modification plans. So those water plans are at 60%. Once the water work has been done, then we'll follow up with the repaving of those streets. Streets such as Church and I believe Alameda are on that list.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. So I'm assuming that when you talk about the water plans, there's funding already set.
Correct. The water work, Tucson Water is undertaking that work. They've got their working through plans. Plans are at 60%. We expect that this is going to take some time for construction. I would not expect this to start paving for at least a year. That's on the downtown part. rest of the work is moving along fairly well. Park Avenue, or actually this is the continuation on that. The work includes Church Avenue and Alameda. In terms of Silver Bell Road, that project is now complete. We finished that last fall. And Park Avenue bids, actually was originally bid at the end of the month, and so bids are due on the 6th. So once that happens, and that's gonna be run by Tucson Water, because again, they have a large water transmission main under the road that needs to be replaced, and they'll do that, and then the paving will fall. But Tucson Water will be managing that project, so we expect that to bid in another roughly 2 weeks. This is the financial overview, and I provided a black and white copy of this for you. The savings that we had anticipated having seem to be evaporating with cost increases. So right now, the residential program is now totally complete. We saved about $4.5 million on that. Currently, we're looking at a $6.7 million fund availability between the two programs, based upon our current projections for the costs in the arterial packages. And we'll know more as we open the bids on Park Avenue and that moves forward, and as we get the final final price estimates from under contract. So after we have that, we'll have a much better idea of where we stand financially in terms of whether there'll be money available to reprogram at the completion of that. And I know that was an interest of the commission. I did include in your packets the adopting language from the original Prop 101 initiative, which includes a copy of the map that was provided for the arterial. So that was in there. They did not, and this committee was involved in the selection of the residential streets. Mm-hmm. But the arterials were all pre-selected, represented. So that is what I have on top of it.
Is there any questions, Commissioner? I actually have one.
Okay.
Have we heard back at all from the City of Tucson regarding the letter that we sent regarding Tucson Water?
We have not, although I know that there is a independent audit committee that will be meeting, I believe, next week, that I believe that's going to be discussed as well at that one. But we did just deliver it, and I've not heard.
I'm on that commission.
Oh, you're on that commission?
So I'll be present for that discussion.
Great.
They received a letter that they were
okay, thank you so much.
Can I ask about the nature of that?
Well, the concern was about, I mean, as we're moving forward with Prop 411, and I know you all have the concerns, so I'll paraphrase it and add in and fill in what I don't mention. But as we're moving forward with Prop 411, there's an expectation that we're going to be out and repave all these streets. But in many cases, we've found that water has actually slowed our progress on some of the projects. And there is a concern that these projects will continue to be delayed as we move into the other parts of the program. Right now, we have, I believe, 10 or 12 projects that we actually put on hold. We're releasing some of the holds as we're moving forward and working through issues with Tucson Water. But some projects have also been identified that Tucson Water will be doing water modifications basically doing repair work in advance of our work in the fastest delay for the government. We're also, thanks to the commission, able to work with Tucson Water in terms of scheduling our Prop 411 work to follow their water work where they have planned water main replacements. And they're extensive to the community. I know there was a resident from Deets that had spoken up to call in the audience. This is an area that Tucson Water has said, you know, we need you to hold your paving plans until we have an opportunity to relocate the water lines. And that was a priority that was proposed. request of us. And it makes no sense for us to pay them and have them cut through them. All it does is add cost, and it ends up with an end product roadway that's been cut through that's in a more poor condition than it would be if we waited. So we'll have a longer lasting road if we do it following the waterline work.
Okay, that's super helpful. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, if I missed anything, please jump in.
I mean, I think also more the issue is that the funds for these water repairs are not necessarily
or
budget. So that was our concern. We wanted to make sure that the city was aware that we were aware that this is, we wanted to work in together to address this. Sorry.
And I would add that the approach we're taking right now is do some water identify. We are identifying all our road projects. They're identifying their needs. They're determining what they can afford to do. And if they can't afford to do the work, even though they might want to do the work, if they can't afford to do it in a timely fashion, they're telling us to go ahead and move forward. But you have to move forward gingerly because we don't want to disrupt their water lines and improvements.
Madam Chairman,
we
still have a quorum. I need to be excused.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Amanda, we've been able to add some before and after shots into the presentation. Otherwise, it would be pretty cool. And just June's writing and talking here. Where we stand right now in terms of the, and I think this is mostly work that I've told you about already, the initial project work, the initial project list, which we approved back in February of 23. We now are largely through. 52 neighborhoods have been improved. We do have some remaining work in the Myers neighborhood, Yale Estates, and Mario Viejo, which we're coordinating with Tucson Water on. We also have River Lost Road, which is being layered with safety improvements. That's moving forward in design. And that basically is from First Avenue west to I think it goes to almost Fairview, so it goes through the Oracle Road intersection, or on both sides of the Oracle Road intersection. We also have the Pantano Overlook, North Mall, and Elvira, and 4th Avenue Preservation Works. Those are the projects that are at this point remaining in the initial project.
Just for my neighborhood's education, so being coordinated with Tucson Water, does that involve actual dates or concrete developments and funding or anything like that?
Yes, they have them on their capital improvement program.
Awesome.
In fact, they're in design presently and part of the agenda.
Fantastic. We'll pass that along. Thank you.
Would Jefferson Park be on that list as well?
Yeah, the most important.
These are the locations of the projects that are still remaining. I can tell you that the Pantano Overlook project, I've already got under contract, so that will get taken care of. We expect to be doing work down in part of the Elvira neighborhood down here. This project, Tucson Water, is going to be putting lines through our recently paved roads. Those were paved in 2020. Unfortunately, that was an example of not coordinating with Tucson Water, and so we're going to have to go back in through there and do some more extensive pavement restoration work after they're complete with their waterline work. The other projects, Barrio Viejo, Yale Estates, and then this is the Myers area. In terms of terms of projects that are currently under construction. A lot of these have their paving already complete. Vista Del Rio and Colonial Bridge, Kennedy Park Estates, El Rio Acres and Ironwood Ridge, Riverside Park, and Menlo Park, the south portion, or rather the north portion, I'm sorry. We have Ward 1 surface treatments. That project has been suspended for the inclement weather. We completed the work at Saddlewood Ranch, completed work in the Ironwood Ridge neighborhood, and we got partially completed on some of the streets in Enchanted Hills neighborhood. The remainder of Enchanted Hills and the Oak Park at Midvale Park projects are still outstanding on that, and we expect the contract to resume work in April there. Same holds with the Ward 2 and 6 surface treatments. Those were also suspended for the season. That work was involves the east end of the Vista Del Rio area, basically. It's a neighborhood called the Enclave, as well as other neighborhoods, Catalina Heights and in the Rosewood Estates. Rose Hill Estates, I'm sorry. We've finished work, the paving work in Indian Trails Estates, finished work in Ottawa, finished work in the Crossings neighborhood. The project that we're currently underway on or starting up, Rolling Hills neighborhoods. That's our largest project to date. We have Rincon Heights neighborhoods. As a part of the Ward 2 and 6 project, we also were doing surface treatments in Rincon Heights. Those had to be stopped, but we're continuing on in Rincon Heights doing the curb access ramps. We have some deferred ramp work that we did. We did not couple it with the surface treatment work that we did last year in the Mittman, Thunderbird, Wilshire Heights, Harlem Heights, and what can we admit? States areas, we're doing the ramp work there now. We have just let the paving for Ward 5, Package 1, which is Mortimer Addition, Southland Park, Los Ranchitas, Desert View neighborhoods. Ward 5 paving Package 2 has also been recently let. The Package 1 that was to Tucson Asphalt, I believe they're planning a notice to proceed on the 26th of February. I don't yet have a date for the Package 2 neighborhoods yet. We also have a large project. This is probably our second largest project to date, which is Ward 2 and 6 repaving, which includes the Venice Addition, Carlos Terrace, Glen Heights, Swanway Addition, Pima, Verde, and Cloverleaf, Warsaw neighborhoods. And I have also been able to add the Speedway Addition Pinecrest neighborhood to that as well. So that is all now underway. If you were to drive down Swan Road right now, you'd probably see all of the torn up curb access ramps. And we're hearing comment on that too. So, that's all underway. And that project will continue on just as the Rolling Hills projects. Those projects are long duration projects, as big ones. They'll be continuing through the end of the summer. These are some examples of some other neighborhoods that we've done. South Park, the Elvira neighborhood, and the River Lost Thurston neighborhood. And so you can see the before and afters there. These are the locations on the map of where we're currently under construction. And I won't recite the names of those same subdivisions, but you can see that we're all over town. One of the things you don't see much work in is Wards 5 or 4. The Ward 5 projects we're just starting up on, those that I mentioned are right in this area and in this area. And then the Ward 4 packages that we have in the offing are all in this area through here. Plus up in here. So those are projects moving forward. We're also doing surface treatment work. I mentioned the ones that were suspended up in here. This was suspended, the blue items are suspended, the red items. Those are projects that we either have under contract or are about to have under contract. We're currently pricing work around Palo Verde Park and work around Jesse Owens Park. So both of those areas are going to be seeing surface treatments. We also have Rancho Del Este, where we're currently, we actually are working with our streets crews to have them do surface or do the pre-treatment of the crack filling in that neighborhood. So, I think right in here, that's the Pantano Overlook project that I mentioned earlier that was from the initial project. Projects in pricing. I now have another one to add to that. We get this out this week, and this is this neighborhood here. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but it's, that project is currently pricing, and we expect pricing shortly in this neighborhood and in this area. Yeah, that's the ones that I mentioned. We also are working on some other projects. This is a project called San Paula. This is one where we're going to be following Tucson Water. Tucson Water is expecting to finish up this neighborhood late summer with their water line work, and we'll follow it. Once they're finished, we'll mobilize into that neighborhood and do the repaving. We're doing the same treatment, the next phase of the La Madera neighborhood. They did waterline work on the east side. Now they're doing waterline work on the west side. We're coupling that with the Grantland Vista and Farmington Heights neighborhoods, and Granada Vista as well. We're going to actually add that in there as well, which would be this neighborhood right here. So those are currently being developed for pricing. I'll probably be able to get that one out in, I'm going to say, probably March. We have Jefferson Park here. Jefferson's Park has been one that has been kind of a fits and starts project. What's happened with Jefferson Park is we initially went to Tucson Water. Tucson Water said, oh, the water lines on Edison are bad. We need to replace them. We said, okay, well, let's get it done. They said, well, we'll do a short main project, which is basically a simplified project where it's one of their contracting methods, and it has some shortcuts built into it. As we looked at it further, and as they looked at it further, they decided to do a different method of handling the waterline work, so it slowed that down. But right now, they're sitting on plans that are basically ready to be signed. Once they get those, get the plans out, priced, and they're under contract, I'll get under contract with paving work. And we'll likely be doing work simultaneously where they're working in the neighborhood with their waterline replacement while I'm having the curb access ramps in the neighborhood done. And when they have completed their work, then we'll be looking to follow them. So it's a challenge to coordinate sometimes, but we're committed to doing that. And then the last one that we're looking at in there is El Encanto. El Encanto is got some challenges that we're working with on drainage. Where basically there are some sumps that just don't drain. We've got to find a way to get the water out or find a way to percolate it into the soil, which may be what we end up doing is basically doing some infiltration basins to relieve the water there. In terms of our revenues, this is where we stand revenue-wise. This is the actual collections on a monthly basis that we've seen. So thus far, in terms of the aggregate amount of dollars, $189 million, almost $190 million collected from the sales tax. Over the last 2.5 years. Of that amount, $152 million of it roughly is dedicated to the Better Streets program, with the balance almost $38 million going to the Better or the Safe Streets program. which the Complete Streets Coordinating Council manages. So giving you an idea where we stand right now in terms of total amount of contracts that we have underway, plus change orders and pending awards, those awards that we are in process on, almost $140 million worth of work, $156 million collected, leaving a $16 million balance. I expect that this balance, with the work we've got in the pipeline right now, will be very close to zeroed out. So now, this is work that's going to progress over a period of time, so we will be continuing to collect while the work is going on. So I don't anticipate any financial problems, but this is the first time where we've actually gotten to the point where we've committed to more work than we've collected. So we want to hang right about that even amount is kind of where my comfort zone is. Now, that 156, I reported 151 on the prior page. It's 156 here because we also include interest and any investment returns, as well as debiting out the collection expenses. So it's been favorable because of the balance we've got. One of the things that I like to do is kind of graphically watch where we are with our accumulated revenue, our encumbrances, and our expenditures, and I've been keeping this up to date. The expenditures are kind of, it amazes me that that our contractors don't bill out more rapidly. We do have a fairly sizable gap. They're only a little over $81 million, I think, that they've collected to date or paid out to date on work that we've done. So we're tracking that. We know there's a lot of incoming expenses that we'll be anticipating as we continue to go through these projects. This is the this shows you the areas that I had targeted for project development over the course of the next year. We've got 1 year down. We've got a 3 year program. This is the plan that I had going forward for what we'd be looking at working on next year. I think I may be taking a cue from you all that you might want to have the rest of Menlo Park done. So I might add that. So that I can definitely put into the program there. But this is where I'm anticipating going with the next tranche of projects that we put into design. In terms of where we stand right now, what are we doing? How are we affecting our roads? I think the last time we met, I presented you what our overall condition index had changed to. And we've gone from 69% of our streets from in a very poor condition to 63%, and we've gone from very good of 7 to 15. That's now increased, and the very poor to failed has decreased. So we are making progress. To give you graphically an idea of what it looks like, and now I know the colors are perhaps a little more vivid in the red on the right, but this is an indication of what our streets were, what our conditions were in 2023, just about 2 years ago, and now where we're at right now, you can see that we've made a lot of progress all over the community in terms of trying to get the neighborhoods improved. And what I generally do is, I'll ask Todd to recolor the map as soon as the pavers are finished. So, they may be still doing additional work in there, but the pavement surfaces that people are driving on are in repaved condition. So that's an indicator of where we stand. So I think that was the last slide I had on 411. I'd be happy to take comment.
My mom lives in First Ave, which just got repaved. It's amazing. I've been through Menlo. It looks amazing. I've been in Rincon Heights. That's so good. I mean, it's pretty awful. And I know it sounds like maybe they're only one coat down, But something I wanted to bring up to this committee is that Ringtown Heights is one of those neighborhoods that gets an enormous amount of traffic from other parts of town. You know, all these people from Dugo Bay, they park on the streets, really high rates of bike riding and, you know, walking. And yet, the treatment we are doing for them is pretty bad. I mean, compared to, like, my mom's neighborhood, which is, you know, I want her to have good paving and everything, but it's a small neighborhood. And she lives on a cul-de-sac, and her paving is perfect. You know, it just seems, it seems like that should be something we consider, like what kind of use these neighborhoods are going to get for the kind of treatment they're getting. Like Menlo Park is the same way. You know, it's downtown, it gets all that business traffic, Armory Park, Barrio Viejo to some extent, all around the university, West University. I mean, they're all coming up, and I want to make sure we don't give them, you know, 8-year pavement treatments when we could be giving them 25-year pavement treatments like some of these neighborhoods are getting.
No, thank you. Mr. Johnson, I appreciate that comment. We've been working with the contractor to identify ways to improve that paving. They have stopped for the season. They only got the base layer down on most of the neighborhood. I believe Fremont Street and a couple of other streets have gotten the asphalt rubber chip and the final layer on it, so they will be finished. But for instance, Martin and 8th Street are ones that I'm particularly familiar with that are in shape that we've reviewed with the contractor. We've actually looked at doing additional treatments in that area to try to fill in the gaps. I mean, they're pretty rough. And they're depressions in the roadway, even though there was asphalt there underneath it, you know, it's still low. And you drive over and it's rugged. We're going to be taking care of that this spring. Now, in terms of the question, I mean, it will not be like your mom's neighborhood. But with that particular neighborhood, we had to make some compromises, and I'll let you know what the specific issue was, and that's shallow water lines that are not leaking, water lines that are not at a point where Tucson Water would consider replacing them. They are water lines that we would disturb if we were going, because they are so shallow, our compaction activity would disturb it and would likely break those lines. So that is why we, in conversations with Tucson Water, we opted to go with the surface treatment approach rather than doing the work that the mill and fill could.
Would you say it's likely that all of the neighborhoods I mentioned, Armory Park, West University, basically everything around the university is old? Are they all going to get that same treatment because of that same issue?
No.
Okay. That would be great.
No. No, in fact, you know, I would hope to go into those neighborhoods with Millenfield. In those neighborhoods, and I've been talking with Tucson Water about them, right now, West University neighborhood is one that I would like to go into, and that was on the list of neighborhoods in through there. I'd like to go in there with Millenfield. The First Avenue and First Street intersection has got water lines under it that just in a 2-block radius are a problem, and we're working with Tucson Water to get that work done in advance of our paving. But once that's done, then we'll be able to get going on those projects. And we are coordinating with Tucson Water on that.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Jim, I have just a general question. If I'm hearing correctly, the revenues aren't going up, but your projects are actually catching up to the total amount of revenue?
In terms of the volume of work that we've got under contract, I've got under contract almost $140 million. I've got revenue of $156. You know, what we're looking at is this gap, and I have quite a group of projects that are just in the final throes of design. Right now, what I've told the contracting community is that they can expect a bid opening every week through the end of March. So I'll be adding more projects to the projects that we've got already under contract, and I expect that. You know, we'll get another deposit in the meantime, And, you know, that'll be the Christmas season deposit that we'll get in February. So, you know, I expect to close that gap. So I want to get as much under contract as I can in this period.
Just to follow up on that, if I could. So is the fact that we're catching up to our revenues with the projects going to be impacting the number of projects that we can do? Is it going to be fewer? How's that going to be?
The rate of, right now, and I'll be candid, I have not expressed this, my job is changing. So I am I'm going to have to pass off the Prop 411 work. I will still be overseeing it, but I won't be as active in the project development. So I need to find somebody to replace me, because I accepted a position as deputy director for the Department of Transportation. So I will still be responsible to this committee. I will still do these meetings. I will still be overseeing 411 at the program level. But in terms of working through getting the projects out on the street, bidding them, I want to try to get as much of them done as I can in the short term. And we're going to reach a point where our contractors are going to be at pretty much their capacity during this process as well. So we've got pretty much about 8 contractors that do all of the work in Tucson right now. And they've all been enjoying work. They've all, and as they get busy, as we book them, we're going to come to a point where they'll be taking more work on only at high price. So I don't want to go there. So, and with delays. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a fairly heavy push right now, get as much work out there on the streets as I can before we start seeing the prices go up. Once I start seeing the pricing go up, at that point in time, I'll throttle back. And that'll coincide with the pass off of the, my passing of this, the project development role to another engineer, who we have not yet identified.
When would that be?
I would expect that would be probably in a couple of months. So I'm going to see this thing through and make sure that this program is near and dear to my heart. So I want to make sure it's successful and that we get somebody to step in. But in the meantime, while there's this vacuum, I'm going to try to get as much work out on the street as we can.
So thank you for your work.
Congratulations. I have a question. So those expenses, the expenditures,
yes,
versus the encumbrances, should this be concerning?
Actually,
they're not billing?
No. Okay. I would submit no. It's to be expected. I mean, if I'm going to be, for instance, I've got a $14 million project that is in Rolling Hills. That project, started out, they're starting out with the concrete work, they're doing all the concrete work. They aren't going to hit the paving until after Memorial Day. And then they'll pave like the Dickens all summer long. So that's when we'll see the big expenditures. Same will hold on the Ward 2 and 6 project. That's kind of typical. I expect that, we did a whole lot of paving in the month of December. I expect we'll start seeing those bills showing up here this month, and you'll see it, and you'll start seeing that that expense going up next month and the following month.
I guess my only question was in regards, because of what you were saying about the expenses of the materials going up, I was just wondering if this is the line up.
Yeah, those projects are under contract. We're not going to see any surprises in there. The only thing that might change is if we do change orders to add work, that's possible. There is a modest chance for unforeseen work in some of these projects. We've encountered it. We manage it. And the only other big factor that we might encounter would be if the price of asphalt, the bitumen, the oil component of it, was to increase in cost. And there is some trend in rising. We do have, in our larger contracts, we do have provision for the an adjustment based upon market changes. And ADOT has a benchmark that they manage that we would compare the pricing to. So we've actually seen prices go down, like in Tierra del Sol. It was a longer project, so we put the asphalt adjustment in it. And it was during a period where asphalt prices were falling, so we actually got the benefit of reduced costs for asphalt for the Tierra del Sol. So it'll go up and down, but we'll be able to handle it with the price that we've got going.
All right, so should we move on to the collector streets? Does anybody have any questions?
No?
All right.
Well, I just want to.
Yeah.
No fixed price contract?
We bid them by the unit. So if the units change, the price changes.
Right.
Yeah.
Collector streets.
Great. Projects that we've completed to date in the collector program. These are typically projects that are pretty straightforward, just mill and pay. The difference or the exception to that would be on the Old Spanish Trail project, where we actually coupled with that project the repaving of the multi-use path that was on the north side of the roadway there. That was done as well, and that's funded by the safety portion of the Park 411 rather than the better streets portion of it. Our most recent completions are the Tucson Boulevard, Grant Road to 6th Street, and Elm Street projects, which I think we finished on New Year's or on Christmas Eve. So that was when the paving was finished. I think we still have striping to do, I believe, this week. So find the striping on that one.
Drove it last night. It looked like it was mostly done.
Okay, great. So thank you.
I didn't see anything that wasn't a dot of anything.
Yeah, what we typically do is we put down paint first, and then as the asphalt cures over about a month's time, then we put down what's called thermoplastic. So it's actually a sprayed on hot plastic that has the reflective material embedded in it or impregnated in it and sprayed down, and it will last 7-8 years, whereas paint will only last for 6 months before you need to repaint it. Old days we used to repaint every 6 months, whether it needed or not. It was just on the cycle. But we put down paint initially for the safety, and then hit it with the higher value, more durable product. In terms of projects that we currently have under construction, Stella Road, I believe, is under construction. I believe they're paving right now. So we have Prudence Road and 29th and Sarnock and Kenyon. All of those projects are part of the Rolling Hills package. And those projects will all go to paving after the Memorial Day weekend. But they'll get all of those knocked out pavement-wise during the month of June. So those will go quick. Right now they're working through that whole Rolling Hills area on the curb access ramps. And once they finish up with the collector streets, then they'll roll into the residentials. So that's good.
I noticed them in there doing the survey.
Good. Yeah. We have a pretty big crew of concrete workers out in that area as well. I don't know whether they've made it into Rolling Hills yet or whether they may have. They still be out of
construction.
Pardon me?
I haven't seen any actual construction, but I have seen.
It's coming. Projects that we're pricing. In fact, I got prices today on Park Avenue. And as I mentioned to you on the 101 report, we got prices, or we finalized the pricing on the 6th Avenue from Drexel to Valencia this week after I put together the originals for proposal to send out to, a slideshow to send out to you. So those are now going to be moving into contract. And I believe the 6th Avenue project will probably go very rapidly. It does, 6th Avenue does not have any curb access ramps that need to be done, so that could be done in February. In terms of projects getting ready for bid, this is a project that we've been working on. We're at 90% plus plans. Calle Santa Cruz between Irvington and Valencia. I really want to get that done late spring. This is a project where that roadway will likely be a detour when the Irvington Road interchange goes under construction, and they have to close that interchange. That would likely be a detour route. To give you an idea of where all our projects are, this is a map of it. The projects that are in blue or with the blue arrowheads are the ones that are under construction or about to be. Actually, I don't think they have park listed that way, but park is right here. So we've got that road is now going to be under construction. Everything that's got green has already been completed. So we've done the Star Pass, we've done the Tucson Boulevard, the Spanish Trail, and South 6 from Thoroughbred to Drexel. This will actually bring South 6 pretty much completed from where it separates from the Nogales Highway all the way down to Los Reales, so between that and the 101 project. So. With that, other projects that we've got underway, these are the projects. These were actually the initial project list projects. We got going on them because they were projects that we knew we would have some challenges with. All of them have water conflicts, so we're looking at waterline work that's going to be a part of our projects when they go to construction. So we'll do the when these go out to construction, it won't be a matter of us having the water company go out first, and then we do a separate contract for the paving. We'll do it as one consolidated package with one contractor. Some of these, particularly in the industrial areas, we are actually looking at using concrete paving as an alternative so that we really get a long life out of it. We'll see how that fares budget-wise. It is a premium product to put down, but it's something that currently is in design as concrete paving. Other projects that we're working on, these are the other pavement-only projects. We do work with our folks in the planning department to come up with revised striping plans if they need to do things for bicycle, bike lane improvements or bike boulevard improvements. We will work with them on that, but this is these are projects that are fairly simple and we'll be able to get going with the 411 road team. The other projects go into our design program where they take a little longer and are more involved projects. In terms of where we stand right now, I can tell you that the apparent low bidder, at least at 4 p.m., I still had potential for one more bid to come in. I don't know whether they will, but the low bid thus far is at $1.27 million for this project that we'd estimated at $1.64, which that project is likely to be awarded to that bidder. 6th Avenue, this is the one that we have with Borderland. We had when we estimated our Collector Street projects, one of the things we did was we said, what should the average cost of doing this be? And we came up with a dollar figure when we came up with our budget of $58 per square yard. Projects that I'm showing in here are coming in substantially under that, with the exception of the one we did with Tucson Water. All the rest of the projects are coming in pretty reasonably. This estimate, we'll see where that ends up. But we are creating headspace so that we can do the more advanced treatments on these other roads that are that have more truck traffic and really need a more resilient pavement structure. So that is pretty much an update on the collective program right now. We are I've been working with Trudy. I don't know if you've got Trudy yet. Trudy is our person from business services who's our finance person, and she's working with the team on trying to develop the budget for fiscal year 26. And I've been campaigning for a full amount of money for next year. So
you're the money tree.
So anyway, be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioners, any questions? Let's move forward. I wanted to see if everybody would be okay with the next item being reduced to 15 minutes rather than half an hour. Is that okay with everyone?
I can keep it quick.
Great.
I think we've heard a lot on those calls. And this is a very short slideshow. So, whoops, I hit the wrong button here. Okay. Neighborhood requests. You know, a lot of times, you know, one thing if the neighborhood's on the, either in or out of the program, but we have some extenuating circumstances at times where we might have projects where, such as the Allegra neighborhood, where we have a bad set of streets in amongst some better streets. And normally what we do is we treat our paving program in blocks at a time, things that have logical geographic boundaries, and we want to have generally about a quarter of a square mile, 160 acres-ish. We tend to group them together to try to get effective bidding blocks so that we can execute the work as cost effectively as we can. If we can get it in the $3 to $5 million range, that's where we're seeing our best pricing right now, because these are short projects, they have less risk. And that was one of the lessons learned when we went with the big projects. The projects, we've been plotting out our prices, and we saw this curve and trend line that was showing, oh, the bigger the project, the better the price. You know, efficiencies make sense. However, one of the things that we didn't realize was that it also introduces some risks, particularly where we have a lot of curb access ramp work. And so that's what we saw in the Ward 2 and 6 project and the Rolling Hill project. They came in, I was a little disappointed in that they did come in a little higher than I had hoped. Not at a reasonable price, but when in talking to the bidders, we found that they all felt that it was risky because of the size and the duration of the project, because we were looking at work that would be going on for 9-10 months, and then we expect they might be covered with cost changes in asphalt, but they wouldn't get any potential for adjustment on fuel, on labor, on cement. Cement is a big one. So that was what was expressed to us, was that they had some risk concerns. So what we've been trying to do is generally do projects in that $3 to $5 million range. It also is beneficial for us because we don't have to go through a full bid process. We have our job order contractors where we've got them pre-qualified. We bid amongst that pool of pre-qualified contractors, so we get competitive pricing. And we have seen those come in very affordably. In fact, better than we had seen on some of those projects that went through the traditional invitation for bid. So once we've got all these polygons identified, then we go through the process of identifying the overall condition index for that neighborhood or polygon. And what the overall condition index is, it's an average for that area. We want to be able to treat large areas. It also has a benefit for us once we treat everything with the same product. That area will probably behave performance-wise over time. It will deteriorate at the same rate, so we'll be able to come back and schedule maintenance consistently or predictably, if you will, if all of these projects are bid at the same time. So, but what we have in the existing pavements is at times a lot of variation. And this is the Calle Alegria neighborhood, and I'm sorry this doesn't show up very well, but in this neighborhood, we've got roads that are good, blue. We've got roads that are fair, which are yellow, and you know, we've got some yellow here, some yellow there. We have poor, which is the orange, and then we've got red. And the you know, Calle Alegria is in that red zone. It does have poor pavement condition. We don't dispute anything that the neighborhood is saying about the condition being bad. It just didn't get into, didn't get selected with phase one because of the fact that the other neighborhood streets around it were in better condition. And the way we had selected it was with this. So one of the things that we could consider doing is where we have specific requests where there are these kind of anomalous neighborhood street areas. We could consider them separately, but we'd want to do that in a way where we could couple it with other projects that are proximal, so I still enjoy that scale benefit. I mean, moving a paving machine a couple of blocks is no big deal, but having to put it on a truck and tote it across town is a different story. And so we want to be able to group these together so we can get the best efficiency out of the contractor when we're doing the work. So that is really you know, the challenge. And I guess I'd like to get some feedback from the commission on where or how you would like us to move forward with this. You know, there are some projects that are coming up in the area. I think I mentioned to you that Member Lost was a project that we have in design. It's probably a year out for construction, but this is Member Lost right here. And it would be a simple matter for me to have the contractor, the paving contractor, continue on down Member Lost and do Calle Alegria at the same time. That would be a way we could attack it and do it cost effectively if we coupled it with that future Member Lost Road project. But again, it's still probably a year out. I don't have any other work in the immediate area that would lend itself to those efficiencies until that project comes out. But that's a potential way we could look at it. And then I'd like your guidance on how you would like us to entertain these kinds of requests in the future, because we will have other neighborhoods that are like this. Tucson has developed in many cases. We had, like on the east side, there's big builders building out across, moving east across the valley, but where you have these infill projects, you know, and north side has a lot of them. You know, the south side has a lot of them, where we have these smaller projects that are perhaps different in their paving characteristics than the surrounding area. So I ask for your guidance.
Bruce?
I have a question about guidance.
Okay.
Are these projects ultimately something that we have to make a recommendation to modify something under our standards?
Not in terms of our standards. We could do one-offs. I could come back and do the rest of that neighborhood with other neighborhoods nearby when it's, this will probably be a phase two project, would be my guess, based upon the color rating eyeball here. So, we could potentially go the other route as well.
The other route
being adding it to another project that is nearby.
Yes, my follow-up question could be, what is your guidance for us in terms of how you see this as the most efficient way to handle it?
Well, from a cost-wise, I can live with that approach. I can live with coupling with another project If I was asked to do it as a standalone, I'd recommend against it, because we don't, if we had, if we treated those neighborhoods like that, it would not be to it would defeat our ability to touch every street in town, because our average cost of pavement would go up.
So just so I'm clear on like what we're offering guidance on or asking questions about, are we gonna look at like multiple scenarios right now, or is this just like a big picture conversation around how we handle these types of question marks?
Big picture.
Okay, great. I do have some questions. I also live in Menlo Park and was like inspired by how impressive the work has been done in the part of the neighborhood that I live in, and also appreciate the kind of challenges of one portion of a neighborhood being tackled and the others not. And the, my understanding is that that just happened as well in Barrio Hollywood, and then creates a little bit of like tension and question marks that could generate more conversation among this group. And so my understanding, and thank you for your grace in me being new and not being really grounded and hoping to learn, is that there's some equity frameworks around some of what like Ian was talking about with traffic and demographics and other question points. But I would love if we can think about how to integrate more of like a neighborhood cohesive strategy, so that we are trying to balance those tensions, because they're going to exist as people that gather regularly to talk about community. We're clearly using neighborhood names and how we talk about this stuff, and so that's not, I think, specific to like pockets like Calle Leire, but I think just on a big picture, like having conversations around accelerations or things like that, I do feel like that's a helpful tool to minimize, you know, a lot of questions for this body and hopefully, you know, improve neighborhood relations too and be equitable. It's gonna be,
I mean, part of the issue that has come up, Ian, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think this is going to happen a lot more, you know, as, you know, because the neighborhoods that are getting paved, they look amazing. And then you realize how bad everything else is. But, I mean, it's the contrast is just shocking in some neighborhoods. But in something like this, if the city were to go in and use the efficiency of doing Limberlost and then getting that little circle of red, that whole neighborhood would pop up to like a 60 on average, because all that. So that might be able to, maybe it could be punted as a neighborhood toward the end once the really painful streets were addressed. And what, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Madam Chair, if I may respond to that. The way we would handle this is we would actually segregate that out as a separate polygon, a separate work unit. Because what we want to do is keep all the work units understood together, so that we can, in the future, when you come back and say, oh, it's time, you know, 3 years, we need to go out and fog seal everything. Well, I want to have in our inventory this list of projects that we did at the same time, so I can come back and fog seal them at the same time. So we would segregate that out, and we'd correct me if I'm wrong on that, Todd.
You're spot on. We would separate those out and just to offer this, I guess, which is maybe more than, in terms of like the OCIs being recalculated, we're not moving these targets on all these neighborhoods that aren't getting work. It's not like we're refreshing OCIs on those constantly, because then that would just keep moving everything around, right? Took a snapshot, those OCIs are kind of locked in. These splits where Jim and the engineering team are going through and separating, I mean, some of these neighborhoods, we put them in as one polygon, and he's having to split them to coordinate with Tucson Water, and maybe this path's getting it's a lot of work to separate those things. We were absolutely doing that. Basically, they're morphing into 2, 3, 4 polygons, whatever they need to be. So like in that example, you'd have one little polygon that might just be a really high OCI, and it would be knocked into like a preservation cycle moving forward, because you did it with Limberlost, and what was remaining, that OCI should go down or remain the same, right? It would be re-aggregated just for what's remaining using the same numbers as before. So we shouldn't be moving that to where it gets punted.
And I'd add that we're commonly doing this with electrical cars.
Yes, that was.
Yeah. That was where we learned how to do it.
Yeah. So, and oftentimes our assets in our database, we have to actually resegment those before rolling up into Polygon because just the limits changed, the history's changed. So we're trying to align that to construction. Hopefully that helps.
I see what you're talking about, and I think what we want to do is, what I would want to do, is I would want to try to get to the work as quickly as we can under a reasonable pricing structure. You know, for the sake of the overall city, I can't see us running around from here to there, etc., and spending twice as much money as it would have normally taken to do the project because we did it in little pieces. So where you have this option to be associated with something else where you don't get a significant increase in price, I think we want to look at that. We want to go ahead. We want to get that done. We want to get everything that we can reasonably done at a reasonable price. Bottom line is what I'm talking about. And I think that has to be a kind of a two or three level decision that has to be made from an engineering standpoint as to where and how that is done. And I assume probably an independent, you know, case-by-case type of engineering. But I think that needs to be the guideline. The guideline is how to timeliness of getting it done offset by the expense, the increased expense of doing it as too small of a package price. And I think that's the balance we need you as the engineers to come back and say, we can do this one, we can't do this one until we do the entire adjoining area. That's my view on it. That's the way I'll vote.
I would also offer that regardless of whatever decision we make, we need to do, Mike seems to do the best job we know how, but we have to do something about the communication to the neighbors. My street was done. I'm the chair of the committee. I didn't know it was happening, right? And so, you know what I mean? Because it kind of gets lost, I want to make sure that we are addressing, if this, like say we do the pocket, like we need to tell the rest of the neighborhood, we're going to get to this pocket. This is a 10-year project, it's not a 2-year project. Mm-hmm. There are things that are happening that are outside of our control. The issues with Tucson Water are huge that have to be mitigated. So there's all of these issues that are, so the targets are constantly moving. It's not an issue of neighborhood equity so much, Laura. You know, it's not equity as we understand it in, you know, the larger framework of actual neighborhood justice issues, right? It's a whether or not, you know, Ward 2 and Ward 4 have the same amount of money being spent. So, you know, I think that we just need to make sure that we're communicating as effectively as possible, to the neighbors so that they understand. Because of course, everybody's going to be like, well, like, I haven't waited, you know, and that makes sense. I'm wondering, like, what are the other mechanisms that we might be able to utilize in order to make sure that the neighbors understand what's happening? There's going to be a lot of pictures where we're going to have to look at, you know, and I have a lot of, sympathy for everybody. Our streets are failing in this town, and so, you know, that's why we're here, and so we want to do this together. And so I'm just wondering, like, how do we get the word out? Because that communication is everything, right?
Yeah. I think particularly in the, moment that we're in right now, because
absolutely,
voters made this happen. And we're having big conversations as a community around infrastructure investments at a regional level, at a local level, and if voters don't see themselves in this process, it's going to have implications for all of those decisions.
But the key is, and it's hard, I've had to talk to several people, it's 10 years.
It's 10 years.
That's what it is. First, we couldn't do them all in 2 years because we don't have enough contractors and the cost would go away. But that's what when I talk to them, I ask them, your schedule, you're not in phase one. be patient, because we're working it hard to get the neighborhood done. And I know some of the people just want to be here. He looks like about his mom. It's amazing. They say, wow. And go down Tucson Boulevard. Wow. You know? So that's the communication thing. And to speak up about the things you've done and what you see being done, somehow get it out there. I mean, you have several ways to do that. The newspaper, yeah, Tucson Agenda, reports. I don't know what else you could do. You know, maybe talk to the different school districts. Because I know they put out a lot of communications within the district just now. The segments they're getting. You're right, Madam Chair. You know, you gotta somehow convince people, yes, you're not forgotten. It's just gonna take a while, and that's hard. I think this is a good idea.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is not an action item.
Right.
However, I would like to make it an action item for a future meeting. So what I'd like to do, I appreciate the comments. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together a potential process for handling meetings. And then you guys can pick it apart and tell me what I did wrong with the next meeting. So, or approve it if you find it acceptable.
How long? When are you going to send that out?
The
process.
The process.
For us to look at. I mean, don't send it out if we get a meeting on Tuesday. Don't send it out till the Wednesday before.
Okay. Fair comment. I don't expect an extensive process.
No. I don't expect you to take it. I mean, you get a lot on your plate, but you can react to it.
Okay, my team. Sorry.
One
thing I've noticed with social media is that the Department of Transportation has been putting little blurbs out on Facebook, on X, on doing it. But to have it not, we'll put it in layman's terms, and then send it out that way. Even with the little bit of blurbing that goes on with the social media outlets, it gives just enough information that makes you either you're going to ask more questions or you're going to want to know more information. And it does leave, you know, numbers, emails, different contacts. So I think that would be something that I would look into more and utilize it to the point of going bigger than just little blurbs.
Oh, yes, sorry.
You talked about coming up with a process. I'm wondering if that gives you enough flexibility, whether you want to give us a couple of alternatives with some pros and cons, or do you think that this conversation has come up with?
I think I've got an idea of what I'd like to present.
Okay.
And work on, and that would generally be along the lines of, you know, start with a request of this commission, and I would identify projects that it could be coupled with, and then make a recommendation to you. And that was along the lines of what I was thinking, but I need to think about it some more, and I may throw some additional information in or process in there, or I may give you a couple of alternatives. Let me noodle around a little more.
I'm not trying to restrict you. I'm just trying to offer you some flexibility.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, go for it.
Question. I was just going to ask. So we've already made phase one, like that decision's done. So the next decision points where we might actually use this, we've got collectors, the next round of collectors, presumably. Right.
We have exhausted the collector.
Okay. So we're going to have a conversation about the next round of residential packages, and then potentially we may eventually have 101 overage money. But other than that, I mean, those are the only real decisions we're going to be making if we would use this new decision tree on, right?
Madam Chair, Mr. Johnson, I would submit we could, we don't need to tie it to a future phase. We could, you know, the Limberlost work would be in phase one. So we could potentially tie it to phase one projects if it makes sense and we can do that accordingly. I think I've got enough capacity in the budget, particularly understanding that that we do have projects that are being delayed in phase one due to water work. So, you know, that creates some capacity in phase one.
So we can be making decisions in the next 6 months.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Just a comment that we have plenty of experience with 101 and the projects that have been delayed in 101 for various reasons. We're talking about something that ended 2 years ago, and we still got what, 3 projects or 4 projects that are pending. So, from a cash flow standpoint, I think it will probably work out, depending on how hog wild we go.
And you know, the number of projects that have Tucson Water complications is not insignificant. In fact, one of the things that I provided you, the reason I brought this out was to give you kind of status of where we are in the various neighborhoods in phase one. Originally it was gray. It didn't color render very well on the copy machine, but the color that you see at the top for the crossings, top Tucson Autoball, those kind of projects, those are all projects of that color that are actually paved. So they are. So you can see within my list of projects how many of them are paved. The ones that are green, which I think comes in looking more tan on your project or on your spreadsheets. It's a very, very... Yeah, exactly. Those are projects that are currently under construction. For instance, if you go down the page to down in here, there's a faint color. And I apologize. I need to use a better color scheme that reflects better on the copy machine. Anything that's got any kind of blue highlighting are projects that we're talking to Tucson Water about. So, for instance, if you go down. To COT resub Luna. That's one where I know we've got a water line issue that we need to do in Western University neighborhood. Iron Horse, we are checking on Tucson Water's the pipe depth because I think they've got probably the same problem that Rincon Heights has or have the potential to. And then Army Park area, Military Plaza, there's the potential for lead service lines. And that's another thing that Tucson Water is contending with. They haven't got it figured out how they're going to do it, but they're facing new requirements where if you have cast iron or lead service lines from your water line, your water main, there may be an obligation for them to replace that. So from the street, or from the middle of the street to the meter. So they'll be carving up our roads pretty good if they have to. I think in neighborhoods where lead lines are prolific. Anything that's in salmon on the next page, those are projects that we're going to do multi-surface treatment layers on. The yellow are projects that are currently in design, where I've actually given it to a contractor, to our consultant, and they're preparing plans and specifications for this. Anything that's got yellow in this field here, those are projects that I'm looking at actively for fiscal year 26. There's kind of a little bit of a key on the back page, and then on the lower right corner of the last page, one of the things I've been doing is trying to keep an eye on the ball. I know what I think I should be paying on average for paving, and I've extended that price out for what I think I'll pay to get during the phase one, and compare it to the available funds that I've got estimated based on the most recent Eller forecast that we have. So that's what I'm using to come up with the available funds. So, and I've adjusted some of these from last year based on inflation, observed costs.
Yeah, go for it.
Are there any uncertainties that might be coming down the road, like tariffs, or you're going to have some supply chain issues that are even on the horizon? I don't know whether we're all domestic or whether we count on international supplies to make some of these.
You know, where we potentially have international supplies is more of the water work. I know that Tucson Water, when we were doing Broadway Boulevard, they were hamstrung because, you know, we had the Ukraine war breakout, and a lot of the cast iron products are made with pig iron that comes from Ukraine. So that was that actually delayed partially our project. There was all kinds of supply chain issues at that time as well, not just the effects of these chemicals. I think fuel and oil are always something that, you know, you can speculate that it could go either way. I mean, on the one hand, we could end up with raising prices, or we could end up with a flooded market if Saudi Arabia has an immense reserve that they've been holding back on pumping. As they did with when fracking became so prevalent in the United States a decade ago, they turned on the pumps, and they drove a lot of the American oil enterprises out of business. So they're still, the United States is still the world's largest producer of oil, but and we're now a net exporter rather than the world's biggest importer, which we have been. But there's always these kinds of things that could come up.
It's anybody's guess. I was just curious.
Yeah, those are the things that come to mind in terms of potential areas. I always worry about labor too, because I think one of the things with the fires in California, we could see labor moving from the Arizona market to the California market based on the rebuilding plans. But maybe not so much in asphalt.
We may see labor moving from here to foreign countries.
Yeah. Agreed.
Sadly.
All right. Well, we have three more items available.
I can go quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
That one.
This is the last PowerPoint, I promise. Okay, well, we've been working on phase one. I think it's time for us to start looking at phase two. Because we have projects that are going to be delayed due to Tucson Water, I think there is going to be an opportunity for us to move some projects into earlier implementation while we're waiting to work through the Tucson Water issues with some of these other projects that we have based our budget and program on previously. So, we are now 15% of phase one is paid, 35% of it's under contract, and I believe by the summer, after I get through this big push right now, we'll probably have 50% of phase one under contract or done. So I think it's time to start looking at phase two. The criteria that we used for the determination of the phase one projects was looking at the lowest OCI, looking at ward proportionality and looking at equity, and then also looking at, you know, where we're doing Prop 407 work, with the bike boulevards, and coordinating with Tucson Water in their main replacement program. I think those are still legitimate things to be considering in phase one, or in phase two rather. Perhaps not the bike boulevard coordination, because I think we're going to be nailing that down pretty well with what we've already got in phase one. But I would ask if this is a set of criteria that you'd be supportive of us looking at developing phase two around. No, I just need nods of heads. So you're going to get a crack at it later. You know, whatever I put, whatever Todd puts together, or Peter puts together, based upon those criteria, you're going to see again, and you'll have the opportunity to vote on it and adjust it if you see fit. Or give us other directions once you see what it looks like. So with that, you know, my hope would be for us to. And this is going to take some effort, but what I'd hope to have is an opportunity to bring this back to you, bring a first pass at this to you, say in March or April, and then look at finalizing it in the summer. So that would be my hope, is to have June of this year, we have a phase two program that we can look at and we can point to and we can give people who are wondering when their neighborhood's going to be done some sense of assurance as to when, you know, when it is in the program. Okay.
I don't have any more questions.
All right. Barring any vehement opposition, I'm going to move on. So with that, that's the last of my PowerPoints. The last thing I wanted to report on to you was the Fleet Streets Coordinating Council. They met, I believe I've put into your package the agenda for that. They met last week. At that meeting, they went ahead and approved years 2 through 7's safety program for traffic, for traffic signal work. So that's been approved by the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. And they have also heard reports on the Plan Tucson efforts that are going forward. So they also established a subcommittee, and that subcommittee is meeting presently as we speak, and that's why they're not represented in person this evening. So, Madam Chair, that concludes my report, and I have no other issues to bring forward other than.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, nicely done, staff. Thank you so much, as always, for all the work that you all do. It's amazing. And thank you for staying in such close communication with the neighbors. It clearly helps. So thank you all so much. All right. So next meeting, y'all. Pull up the calendar. Let's do this.
Madam Chair, I think the earliest I think we could come back with anything other than a staff's report would probably be March or April. Todd, does that seem like that would be a reasonable time for us to have a first pass of maps?
Yeah.
Do you have a preference as to whether March or April?
Let's go with April.
Okay. The 29th?
Will that be after your moved on to a different position?
I'll be here.
I've already moved on. I'm just double duty.
You're just
getting
paid for your slides. So what about April 29th, Bill?
Works for me.
I will be away. I can participate remotely, if that's an option.
Well, we haven't done that yet.
I may be here.
I believe the commission had voted to do either virtual, complete virtual, or in person, and it was voted for in person.
Okay.
However, we could go back to Mondays, which have been the typical night. Obviously, depending on the reason why we did tonight is because this room was not available on Monday, so
right.
It would depend on the availability of this room.
Okay.
Would that influence your schedule?
Yes, I would actually make Monday.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll look at the 28th.
I can't make that. I'll be flying back from Europe.
Okay.
Oh. Or we can take a
week later.
Good for you. What about the, well, the week earlier was the Easter, the week of Easter. What about the 14th?
I'm out from the 6th to the 28th, so either March or May is probably better, but if you need to go in April, go in April.
Well, what about March 31st?
Caesar
Chavez
Day.
Oh, is it?
I'm not sure if
it's.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah. If I'm the only one missing, it should be okay.
Is everybody else available for April 28th?
Yeah. I'm available for April 28th.
Okay.
Yeah, Amanda does a good job.
All right. Can we do that then? April 28th, does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, my apologies for being late today. I know we ran over. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm super excited to see you bring in to work with us. All right. Thank you all so much. Do I need to call for a German, or I can just?
Yeah.
All right. We're good.
Declare it.
All right.
Yeah.
Neighbors, thank you.